Hi everyone, it's Joe here from Lawn Solutions Australia and welcome to this episode of Turf Talk. Very special episode today. As you can see, for those watching on video, we're outside in beautiful Orange where I'm joined by Ben Sims of Lawn Tips. Ben, welcome.
Thanks for coming, mate.
That's great. It's turning on for us. A little bit worried coming here. You had your first cold snap of the year.
Yeah, it was fresh, mate. It was like, 4 or 5 degrees at night, which is filth.
Mate, this is perfect. No, it says 13 or 14 now, but mate, it may as well be 25.
Yeah, cheering. This is the best weather, I reckon. Like, autumn time,
yep.
Best time of year.
Good time for grass photos.
It is. That's why it's my favourite time of year.
Yep. Have that in common, I guess. Yeah. So, for those that don't know you, Ben, you run a lawn channel, I guess you'd call it, on YouTube, called Lawn Tips. It's been going around for a while, and we'll get more into the lawn tip story, but how about to start with a bit about yourself? So, greenkeeping background.
Yep.
Always been in Orange, but before greenkeeping, just a normal sort of kid, normal sort of childhood around here. What was it for you?
I think it was, anyway.
Normal as it gets.
So I grew up in Orange. Well, I was born in New Zealand, lived there till I was about 7.
Yeah, right.
Then moved to Orange because my mum, sister was here, so moved to Orange because of that. Went to Sydney for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then came back to Orange. I've been here since I was 9.
Okay.
So, yeah. Pretty much Orange, born and bred. Don't have a Kiwi accent anymore. I used to, but
yeah, right.
She's gone. Still a Kiwi citizen, though.
Dual passports?
I'm just a Kiwi passport, man.
Well, same thing.
I'm still a Kiwi.
Oh, yeah? There you go. All Blacks.
Yeah. If I get kicked out of this country, it's because I'm not an Aussie citizen. Yeah. But no, I don't go for the All Blacks. No.
Oh, yeah?
No.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
We'll leave that. So, greenkeeping. Now, your whole family's pretty much greenkeepers is what I learned today.
Yeah, it's a bit funny.
So, it's in the blood, I guess you'd say.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Honestly, so what happened was I was working in a phone shop. I was a manager in a phone shop doing sales, which I hated.
Yeah.
I hated doing sales, even though I technically sort of do it now.
Yeah.
And then my brother had an apprenticeship at the local golf course in town.
Mm.
And so I was like, I need to get out of this. So I said, is there any jobs going? And he went, yep, there's a job going. I went over there and that's honestly how it started.
Liked it from the start.
I just loved being outdoors. Like, I mean, when we got out our first home, I was like whippersnipping the backyard and I wasn't mowing it and I was, you know, doing this and that. But, I loved it from the get-go. It was mostly just the outdoors and seeing results from mowing and putting like fertilizers into things and coring greens and grooming them and seeing the results. So, yeah, within 12 months, I was loving it.
And you did a full apprenticeship then, did you?
Full apprenticeship. So, I did the 4 years, went to TAFE, did my Cert 3 in horticulture.
Where's TAFE around here for you then?
It's in Orange.
It's in Orange.
It's in Orange. It's on the outskirts of town towards the mines out.
Yeah.
At the back end of Orange. But they don't do it in Orange anymore, greenkeeping, because it's such a small trade now.
Yeah.
So I think they have to go to Dubbo.
There's only a few spots in the state now, I believe, they do it. Yalla near us, Dubbo, and I think a place in Sydney maybe.
I was told my bosses when I was doing my apprenticeship, when they did theirs, they had like 30 people in there doing greenkeeping.
Yeah.
When I went through, there was probably 4.
Yeah.
And then my little brother's just gone through and just finished, and he was only one, I think. No, there was one other fella.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was rare that they had that many people.
So you followed your twin brother in? Twin brother, isn't it?
Yeah, twin brother.
You followed your twin brother in, and then the younger brother.
Yep, followed afterwards. So as soon as I finished, he actually took my job.
Is that right?
He actually took my job, believe it or not. Yeah. So
yeah,
he went into it and then he's still there now.
Yep.
And I'll eventually scab him from the golf course and get him out here to help me.
Come here. So all the same golf course too?
Yeah. All the same golf course. Yeah.
Okay.
All working. And my sister's actually just started her apprenticeship in, not in greenkeeping.
I was going to say.
Horticulture though. So it's close.
Yeah, same.
I've got another brother. He's a plumber. So he's.
Okay. So there's diversity in the family somewhere.
Sort of. Yeah. He helps clean the toilet every now and then.
Yeah. You help with the irrigation here?
No, he didn't actually. No, that was all by myself.
Okay.
That was not a fun job.
No, I can imagine.
Like, what was it? They had a 60 mil pipe, poly pipe, trying to push it onto fittings. Nightmare. That was a nightmare. Yeah. You get it done.
Good job for a plumber.
Yeah, exactly.
So, how'd you handle the winters greenkeeping in Orange? Because I wouldn't imagine it'd be too much fun.
There was a lot of. Honestly, there's a few movies in there.
Yeah.
A few card games.
Yeah.
a lot of cups of teas, probably 6 times a day.
Yeah.
Honestly, greenkeeping in Orange in winter was sitting in the shed.
Was it?
Yeah. Honestly. And maybe like if we had to build a new tea box or something like that to keep the blood flowing, we get that done. But you cut the greens once every 2 days, rake bunkers once every 2 days.
So cool season greens, so the bent grass greens in orange, are they still growing in your winters or they go dormant?
Not really. They nearly go dormant.
Yeah.
Especially that end of town that they're on. It was about 950 meters of elevation.
Yeah.
Out there. So we'd have frost every second day.
Yeah, okay.
Which makes bent grass go purple nearly.
Yeah.
Like it goes a bluey purple color and it stunts it like nothing else. You can't even get mowers on there because obviously if you get mowers on frozen grass, it actually crushes the crowns and you get bruising and it goes black. And
so what, you just roll them or something, do you? Or you just leave them?
Yeah, well, we never had a roller when I was doing it.
Yeah.
We only used a roller on the bowling green, but that's what they do.
Yeah, okay.
Now that all the courses have amalgamated and they've got more equipment.
Yeah.
They can do that. But you mostly roll it just to keep the speed up. And
your fairways. So talk me through the fairway grass. I never heard of it before.
Yeah, so South African couch is what they've got on most of the fairways here in town, which is like, it's a hybrid couch. Yep. Which they imported from South Africa. I'm not sure on the exact story, but they imported over to Duntry League and they plugged out the fairways and allowed the fairways to grow in. And it's the only place in Australia that has South African grass.
I've never heard of it before.
Yeah.
Because the Kikuyu story is always that it came from a village in Kenya.
Yeah.
I think imported, called Kikuyu.
Yep.
And imported here as cow feed and now it's
gone nuts.
Everywhere on the coast.
It's everywhere. Like,
it's everywhere.
Or even here, it's mostly Kikuyu.
Yeah.
It's absolutely bananas.
And what a South African couch doing winter here? Just goes white.
Goes really white. Like, it looks cool though.
Yeah.
It's got a really, really cool look to it, but it's, and it thins out quite a bit too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's still nice to play off.
So how long ago were you still greenkeeping?
How long ago would it have been? It would have been 2019 is when I finished.
Okay.
So I was 8 years into it.
Yeah.
When I finished up and took this on full time.
And then, so you obviously had an overlap where you were doing... You're filming and doing greenkeeping at the same time?
That was a party. that was rough. So I was, full-time greenkeeping, full-time doing this.
Yeah.
So I was doing about 2 videos a week, answering emails, trying to get an online store going, trying to get a business going. So I was having like 3-4 hours sleep a night.
Yeah.
It was bananas. Yeah. But it was, I look back at it and I loved it. Like, but I'd never do it again.
Fair enough.
I mean, if I had nothing left, I probably would do it again. But like, you know what I mean? Like, it was crazy time in life. We had a newborn, a 2-year-old, and it was just,
nuts.
I don't even know how it happened. And
it's funny how you get through things like that.
Yeah, it is.
So the channel you run now, for those that don't know, Ben runs a channel called Lawn Tips, and it's got 130,000 subscribers now?
About 130,000,
Don't say about. You know exactly how many there are.
Oh, 400 million. No, it's got nearly 140,000,
Have you always been someone who enjoyed being in front of camera, or is this something that just happened? So,
no way, man.
Talk about the genesis of Lawn Tips. Like, how did it start? What got you into this side of thing?
Man, honestly, I saw a few guys in the States doing videos.
Mm.
That's what got me sort of started on it. There was Ryan Knorr, I think you might have seen him before.
Yeah, yes.
The Lawn Care Nut over in the States.
No, he is.
Those two guys, I saw their channels and was like, I reckon I could do that. And I've got qualification in turf grass and I sort of understand what I'm talking about. So I reckon I could give that a crack. But I hated being in front of a camera.
Yeah.
And I'm not a public speaker at all.
Yeah.
Like, this is my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
Doing public speaking. But I don't know, the thought of doing it in front of a camera with anyone watching. And sort of, I love technology, so I love playing with cameras and computers and that kind of thing. So it was like it was almost like a hobby and just something I did for fun to document my journey of fixing up my backyard. And I thought to myself, if I could get a free bag of fertilizer out of this,
I'll be cheering. Our times have changed. So
it's crazy.
What was your first video? Do you remember it?
I do remember it.
Can we see it still?
Yeah, it's still on YouTube.
Is it?
Yeah, if you go on YouTube and go sort from oldest, you can see it there. So I built a DIY lawn striper.
Okay.
So I just got basically a bit of PVC, got some brackets, attached it to my Toro rotary mower and striped up my old fescue lawn.
Yeah.
With that. And that video actually within a week had 1,000 views.
Yeah, right.
And it got to 100,000 in like 12 months or something.
So when was that, from video one, was that when you kind of went, oh, people like this? Like what sparked for you? Because you are a pioneer in this space in Australia. Like a lot more people are doing it now, but
yeah.
You're kind of the first one who really, I'm going to say skyrocketed, because that's what it did.
Yeah.
It went viral. So at what moment did you really go, oh, this is working? Like, people are liking this.
And it wouldn't have been until a year and a half in that I actually realized it was, I don't know what my mindset was when I was doing it. I think I just enjoyed the process.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed engaging with the community a bit and chatting about grass, because I would, when I was first doing it, like, I would talk about grass day in, day out.
Yeah.
Like, I loved it. That's what I'd research. Like, I'm a researcher. Mm-hmm. So I just research for hours and on end, like, read turf grass, like, university books, yeah, and everything. And I just, I had to talk to someone about it. My wife wasn't interested. I worked around people on the golf course who were in grass all the time, so they didn't want to talk about it. So I was like, oh, I'll just chuck some stuff up on YouTube. And
yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't until a year and a half in that I realized, all right, I'm actually getting some decent views.
Yeah.
One of my videos cracked a million views, and I was like,
a million views.
There's possibly something in this. Yeah.
Yeah. What was that video on?
Taking my lawn down to 10 mil. That's what it was titled. Okay. Believe it or not.
A million views.
God, was that 2.5 million now? Yeah.
Was that the catalyst, that exact moment when you hit a million views, or was it before that when you hit X amount of subscribers? Or what was there a number that really went,
oh, wow? I actually think it's when I got an email from YouTube and it said, you're now able to earn money from this.
Yeah.
And I got $3 in my account.
Yeah.
How good. And I was like,
yeah,
I can actually make money from doing YouTube videos that I enjoy filming.
Yeah.
And I could possibly make a career. $3 I couldn't live off, but yeah. There's potential there.
Yeah, sure. Got to start somewhere.
So you've got to try. And I think, like, I love a bit of a challenge. So I think just the consistency in putting a video out weekly was just something that I thought, you know, I could eventually get to a point where it
was it structured at the start, or sort of just ad lib off
at
the cuff?
Start, it was very structured.
Yeah,
okay. Like, as opposed to what it is now. Now it's just walk outside and I'll chat about grass.
Yeah,
I got a preconceived idea of what I'm going to do because it's all seasonal.
Yeah,
like turf grass and renovations and weeds pop up certain times of year, applications. But at the start, like, I think my prep time for a video would be, I'd spend like a day and a half just trying to get a bit of a script together.
Oh, so this was calculated. Like,
it was at the start, yeah. It's because I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I was like stressing.
Yeah.
If you go back to my first video and watch me talk, like, it is, it's pretty cringe.
Yeah. Can't wait to do that when we're done here.
but I mean, yeah, it was, and a lot of edits too.
Yeah.
I think my first video took me 20 hours to edit or something. Which,
is it all GoPro stuff, or how did you start? Like,
so it was all originally on my phone.
Yeah.
It was my phone, and then it went to like an old handheld Sony camera.
Yeah.
Little point and shoot thing. Then it went to GoPro. Now I use like Sony A7 S3s with big lenses, and proper, it's overkill.
Proper cameras.
Yeah. But it's, I just do it for the fun of it.
Yeah.
As I said, I love technology, so, you know, keep the passion burning.
How did you get over the hump of people starting to mention your videos to you? Because I know what that can be like. That can be quite a, I don't know when we say embarrassing or whatever, yeah, but
it sort of is a bit odd.
But how'd you get over that from someone who probably quite shy, I'd imagine. How'd you get over that hump of people starting to go, oh, I watched your video sort of thing? Like, what was that for like for you?
I think it just didn't feel real to me ever.
Yeah.
It still doesn't. Like, if someone, like, as I said to you, we were talking earlier, and I said someone pulled me up in Bunnings and I had an Ozito vacuum that I was getting for the backyard for the leaves, and they said, oh, is that a sponsored thing, mate? And I was like, what? But like, it still just doesn't feel like, I don't walk around town going, I wonder if people wonder who I am, you know what I mean? Like, that's not my mindset. But it was an odd adjustment, like 100%, like going to like a turf day or something like that, and people would come up and ask for photos, and I love meeting the people and chatting to them.
And then at what point did you think, hey, this could actually be my full-time, well, it is your full-time job now, that amongst other things, but at what point was it where you said, hey, this greenkeeping gig's got to probably take a back seat, I'm going to go full-time into this?
Would have been probably at the start of 2019, I think it would have been. So I was 2 years into doing it.
Right.
And I have an online website where I sell some product and stuff, so that started to take off.
Yeah.
And I was close enough that I actually went part-time first. So I went part-time greenkeeping, part-time doing this at home, and that was basically my test to see if I could make enough money in that time to beat my income at the golf course. 2 days a week, see if I could take over the golf course, and I did that in like 3 months. So then went full-time after that.
Yeah.
So it was once, I guess it was once I started making money, I realized that it was,
you can do this,
something I could do. Yeah.
And that's when you're still in town?
Yeah, I was still in town.
So how did you go finding new and exciting stuff to talk about when you're restricted by the size of your block?
Yeah.
What's the thought process when you go, is it just something you just redo it every year? Is that what you were thinking? And
yeah, because it's so seasonal and you got new people coming in like constantly, you know what I mean? Like you might get another couple of hundred people or a couple of thousand people for the next year.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many topics I still haven't really covered. You could dive in deep and you could go all scientific, or you could go you could go nuts on it. There's always different grass types and you can build different sub bases for things and use different products on them and see how they respond. So there's always there's a lot of variables and people are interested.
You can dig a ball.
And people have watched that. Exactly. Watch that. Yeah, you can do a lot of stuff.
And it's a straight ryegrass yard, that one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
So it was exclusively cool season. So I guess you probably got more to talk about when you got a cool season grass as opposed to warm season. Now, I always sort of followed along and watched your videos. And how did you go filming at the front yard when people walked past holding a camera?
Not well.
Not well?
We were talking about it before. Yeah. I used to see someone climbing up the street and I'd run out to the back with the camera on my hand and wait till they passed. Or I'd just freeze.
Yeah,
and pretend I was doing something else in the corner.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was odd, but I got to a point, like if you can see towards the end of where I was living there's a few times people would walk past and they'd be in the background while I was talking out the front. I think it just became the norm after a while. And now I'm out of town, near no one, so I don't think I'll be able to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I think I just got used to it. And it's just like desensitized to it over time.
Do people like – I don't want this to sound weird or negative towards you, but do people get – I mean, I do, but anyway. Do people get what you do? Like, is it a hard thing to explain to people? Because you were the first of your kind in a lot of ways, a full-time lawn blogger, I'd guess you'd say.
Yeah.
How do you go explaining to people what you do? What do you write when you go overseas and what do you put on your passport?
It's a weird one. So I don't like calling myself a YouTuber.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds a little bit cringe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, man, I'm a YouTuber. Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I have said it every now and then, but I more say I do – what do I say? I say lawn consultancy. That's what I call it.
I call myself a consultant. Influencer.
No, I don't call myself an influencer, no. I call myself either a consultant.
Yeah.
Or I've called myself like an online sales marketer or something like that. You know what I mean? When I went to the States, when I went to a trip over there, which I got a sponsored trip from a few of the guys over in the States to talk about grass, and I called myself a YouTuber for that. I got some weird looks from the guys in customs.
Yeah, I bet.
They almost pulled me aside and said, mate.
They got guns on their hips over
exactly.
there too.
Exactly.
But even your mates down here, like if you were to go to sit down with a couple of mates and they go, what are you doing now, Ben? You're not at the golf course. What are you up to?
They just call me a bludger.
Is that what it is?
See, how's it feel being retired, mate? That's what they always say to me.
What are mates for? So,
yeah, oh, mate, you got heaps of money, you're a YouTuber. Yeah. No, it's not like that.
You mentioned the States, but I'd imagine like our industry is pretty good in that way. Like it can open doors to travel and visiting all sorts of weird and wonderful places. So what was the States all about when they took you over there?
I had a few mates over there that shot videos as well. And I think they just wanted to get me over there too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Just to catch up. A content thing, was it? We went to the GIE Expo.
Yeah.
Which is a big like landscaping expo. Mm-hmm. But it was good.
Yeah. And do you get to move around Australia much with what you do? Is there?
No, not really. I haven't had opportunities, but I don't really get around much because I'm so flat out trying to keep this place under control. Yeah. Plus, I've got four kids.
Yeah.
I try not to travel too much. Maybe when the kids get a little bit older,
I'll
get out and do some projects and go see some places. I'd love to go to some stadiums and do some interviews. That would probably be on a separate channel, maybe like a podcast channel I'm not sure. Yeah, there's lots of opportunity, but we'll see where it takes me, I guess, once the kids get a bit older and I've got more flexibility.
And it's a full-time job now. It's not a bludger. It's a full-time job. So
bludge sometimes.
we'll get onto this project a little bit more later, but like it's a 5-6-7 day a week gig now, isn't it? Like it's a full-time job.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you juggle working outside between, and then you edit all your own stuff, don't you? It's just you that does everything. So how do you manage your time now from construction work, filming, editing, answering emails, answering inquiries, product inquiries? How do you juggle that sort of stuff with four kids?
It's I've got myself a real good schedule, so I'm like real time based. So first thing in the morning, get up, do some emails. And then I basically try and spend the afternoons outside.
Yeah.
Like I get all my inside hard brain work stuff done in there and I'll try to film normally on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I'll film on a Thursday or a Friday if I don't get everything done
on
there. So I just got a schedule and that's the easiest way to do it. I don't answer any emails or contact anyone after 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yep.
Set myself time. On Saturday morning, I just upload a video, answer a few comments on there till about for an hour after it's uploaded.
Yep.
And I won't really view anything after that. Because I used to get stuck in a rut and I used to answer into like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like I'd just sit there and Like, I used to get 3 to 4 hours sleep and just, because you get consumed, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you want your business to go well, you want to build something, but it wasn't great for my wife and my kids at that point.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, but so I learned pretty quickly.
It's an intense thing that you do. Like, I obviously watch the videos and look at the comments and click through them, and you're pretty active in that space where not a lot of other people are.
Yeah.
Because, but like you said, you can get so bogged down in that.
You can, yeah. And it's all about, I guess it's a, like, understanding that, like, people won't care too much if you don't get back to them straight away. People understand. I used to think that people would hate me if I never replied to an email or went nuts like that. But, yeah, it is intense. But, like, I'm used to it now. Like, it's just my norm. It's just my day to day.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And now, talk us through this property. Obviously, we're sitting on a beautiful 12-acre property just outside of Orange. And people can see in the background that there's a golf hole here and a par 3 golf hole. We'll get more into that later, but the property. So what was the catalyst for this? Was it content in the back of your mind the whole time, was it? Or
it was pure content. Was it? 100% it was.
Yeah.
Because I was on the place in town, which all up including the house is only about 650 square metres. So quite a small little property. The house was small. So the lawn looked big on camera.
Yeah.
It was just a small house.
Yeah.
So, I was getting bored, like coming from golf course and working on a bowling green. And also the golf course, like different grass types, different things every day. Like I was always consumed by something. When it got stuck down to having one grass type in a tiny backyard, I just got bored.
Yeah.
Like I really just got bored. I needed something to grow the business a bit more and get people still interested down the line. Because I could imagine if I was still there now, people would start to be like, it's just the same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
Over and over. It looks exactly the same. I would have been doing either project lawns, going to the golf course and asking if I could film their renovations and that kind of thing. So there was honestly mostly a content-driven thing. Obviously, the family was getting a bit bigger too, so we needed a bigger house.
Yeah.
But it was honestly a big business decision to get something out of town.
The kids like a bit more ground?
Oh, they love it.
Yeah.
It's so good. I grew up out of town on an apple orchard. So Emma grew up across the road. Emma's my wife. And yeah, like we always want to live out of town. When we got married, we said within 10 years we want to buy something out of town. We did that within, how many years would it have been? It would have been 6, 7 years.
Yeah. Mm. We're 5, 10 minutes from town and you got a wonderful 12 acres here with a beautiful house. Like it's unreal.
So we're very lucky, man, honestly. And this house is perfect. We're pretty lacking on, like when we bought it, we knew there wasn't much water, so we had to sink a bore down the bottom to actually irrigate all this. If we had not struck water,
you know what you do,
golf course here.
The dam's good. Yeah.
Yeah, but it had a leak in it when I first got here, so it was always empty.
Yeah.
So I bought some, what was it, some stop leak or something it's called online, chucked it in there and
worked a treat.
That's good now.
Worked a treat.
Yeah.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the golf hole itself and the project itself in a separate episode. So we'll keep them separate because there's so much detail in it. But we're at the point now where the fairway's complete, the green's complete. Is there room for other projects around this place? What's going to keep you busy sort of moving forward now?
Well, I've still got lots to go do on the golf course, obviously the tee boxes. And then, the other fairway.
Yeah.
I want to do the rough. I want to get the rough looking pretty pristine. Yeah. I don't think I'll have it irrigated.
Yeah.
I'll probably just allow nature to do its thing. So it's going to have to be warm season. I'm even thinking zoysia and letting it get a little bit taller.
Yep.
Okay. And getting that nice, landscapey sort of a look with some rocks in there and just don't need a golf ball in there into a finder.
Yeah. We won't anyway.
Yeah. Right. No, we're too good, bro.
Yeah, that's right. But eventually this whole thing will be
It'll all be done. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm thinking of even getting a bit of tiff tuff over on. There's a big flat section over there that's got nothing on it.
Yeah.
And I want to make like a little pitch and putt area for the kids. So
yeah, cool.
It'll be like I'll just cut little greens into the tiff tuff and make little fairways. All just be tiff tuff.
Yeah.
Because I won't need to chuck a ton of water on it.
Yeah.
Like I won't even worry too much about irrigation. And then just if it goes dormant, if we have a really dry spell, it'll be fine because it'll get a lick of water and it'll bounce back.
Yeah. So it's a great overview. It's a great story. I mean, you've gone from a greenkeeper who just started filming himself in his backyard to 130,000 subscribers and millions and millions and millions of views, which is pretty cool. And it's all organic.
All just organic, yeah.
Yeah, it's a credit to you. It's quite the brand now that you've built in Australia. And it's like I said, it's a pioneer in this space. It's a it's a pretty competitive space now.
It is, I think you'd say. There's a lot of people getting into it.
There's a lot.
Which is, honestly, though, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because it just grows it.
Yeah.
The more people there is doing it, it's not like I see other people doing it as competition. It's just, it's adding to the...
Always said, the more people who are, regardless if they're our brands or not, or your brand or not, more people getting into lawn is good for the industry. And I think COVID, did you find COVID was a big catalyst for you?
Yeah, it was
for
that period. So when I went full time, within a month or two, COVID hit.
Okay.
My sales went, whee! Yeah. And I was like, even my views just went up.
How do I bottle this stuff up?
People were stuck at home, exactly.
Yeah. But we found that too. Like it was obviously a terrible time for so many people. I don't want to highlight that bit, but it made people realize that what's in their backyard is actually really, really important. And 100%. It's not all about going to Bali every year. You can look in your backyard and you can find a place there. And I guess your videos were a big part of that in showing how people can do or achieve certain things, which is really cool.
100%.
So it consumes a large part of your life, obviously. This does. It's your job. And it's more than a job. It's a bit of a lifestyle. But what keeps you busy outside of, I'll say, grass? What keeps you busy outside of grass and filming and editing and that sort of stuff?
Kids is a big factor.
Yeah.
I got a lot of hobbies.
Yeah.
I love guitar. I play a lot of guitar.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm probably practicing, don't know, it depends, 2 to 3 hours a night.
Okay.
I mean,
in your spare time?
In my spare time. Yeah. I do it once the kids are in bed.
Yeah.
And once Emma's in bed. So normally, I stay up late. I can get up pretty early. So I can live off a little bit of sleep. So I love my hobbies. So
guitars can be pretty consuming. Mick, who films and edits all this, you guys got into a conversation before and I've had a few chats.
You were sitting there just going, what are you blokes talking about?
I bought a $300 Ibanez when I was 12 and I can play Smoke on the Water. And you guys are talking about it anyway. It's a pretty interesting hobby. It's not too dissimilar. It's kind of like grass in a way though. Like you get into it and people don't realize guitars aren't just guitars. Grass isn't just grass.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of the same sort of brain that takes it on.
It is. So, and once if you put effort into it, you get something out of it as well and you can see results. So I guess it's that same thing. If you don't do anything with it, it gets worse and worse. So.
You and Mick have a jam later and I'll judge who's the best just from my very music.
You'll probably smash me. Yeah, I love my hobby. So I was into golf for a huge chunk for ages, but it's pretty close to turf and very related in that sense. But I haven't been into golf as much, even though I've got a golf green in my backyard.
You're pretty easy to play.
So I've probably hit, I can almost count how many golf shots I've hit into that green.
Is that right?
Yeah. I've hardly hit anything.
Yeah.
I have to make sure we hit some shots later too.
We will. My wife and kids wouldn't see me if this was in my backyard.
That's what I thought as well when I built it. And then I built it and I was like, not going to hit any shots. Yeah. Once I get back into golf, maybe, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having us out here. Like you told us the other day it was finally turned, the weather, and it was going to be cold and it's going to be this and that. But, mate,
today is so good.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal. But keep an eye and an ear out for another episode we're going to do with Ben where we're going to talk through the process, this golf hole. If you want to see it from sort of start to finish, Lawn Tips, jump on his channel and subscribe.
Plenty of videos for me chatting about grass and trying to build stuff.
Yeah, trying to build stuff. Succeeding in building stuff. It's not too bad. But we appreciate you jumping on and I hope everyone enjoyed this chat. It's a great story and it's a credit to you for building such a wonderful brand all by yourself.
Cheers, mate. It's good.
Keeping you out for the next episode.
Beautiful.